Welcome to the Rental Boys Podcast. Your host here, Xavier Kelly, and my partner.
What's up, guys? Eddie Salceda.
In our podcast, we talk about tips and tricks to help you along in your party rental business. Me and Eddie currently run a party rental business in the DFW area, and this podcast is really built for those who are trying to get started and grow in the industry. Good morning, everybody, or good day, or evening, or wherever you're at. We got a real good podcast for you today. As the thing talked about, I know we were joking around and everything, but really getting into why you need to be raising your prices and why you need to be working on being profitable as part. I mean, profitable as you possibly can on there. Me and Eddie had we've been literally working on this for like how long?
Many years. Trial and error.
Mostly trial.
Yeah.
Mostly error.
That too. But yeah, we're just going back and forth. Take you back to the beginning. Me and Xavier first met. I think Xavier was running an ad for free delivery. And man,
worst decision. I learned a lot.
Oh yeah,
nothing good.
Yeah. But it was a catch. Like, so the thing was free delivery, but he also had a thing where they basically asked the customer to, you know, give gratuity is what I think the wording was on it, which is basically like tipping us. The main thing was just tip the driver for going out there and doing what they do. So many people had a hard time doing that, which I didn't understand because basically the delivery was free. But yeah, we got a lot of pushback on that. And
yeah, a lot of like every single body, like not everybody, but it was the majority of people be like, oh, what if the server is bad? Can I get the tip back? I was like, no, you can get the tip back. So basically our theory on it was that like the money that we would make would just be from the tips and we'll just deliver the stuff and take the gas and stuff for free basically on that part. It ended up being a great idea in theory and we got a really good high conversion rates. I'm talking about like in the 45, almost 50, but still people literally complain. We never had that many complaints over delivery. Right now our minimum delivery is almost $70 and we're not $70, $90.
I was going to say 70. Where are we at right
now? Yeah, and $90. $90 and like, we don't like not a lot of people call us and the delivery price is the delivery price. No one says that, but we had like every single day, multiple times a day. And they asked me like, oh, what is this duty? I thought it said the deliveries were free. And then, so, you know, that was going over and over. And to be honest, at the time, we didn't know this at the time, but we know obviously now we were losing so much money on delivery. Like delivery makes up majority of your cost, most likely, especially at that time. Eddie, you remember like, oh my gosh. I remember we paying people in the tips and stuff. You do 10 orders, it's like $150 with the tips. Yeah. But then like you pay that person like $300 to do all them things.
Oh yeah. Especially with today's prices on the gas and everything like that. Those kind of things just won't fly. And if you're kind of holding fast to your pricing right now, you're really gonna be feeling it. If you're not already feeling it. You know, with the gas prices going higher, if you have employees as well. You probably learned this over the course of time that, you know, the amount that you're paying them and what they expect has kind of gone up higher as well. Because I remember I used to complain that, you know, we used to pay people like $13, $12 an hour.
That's too much.
I was like, it's too much. How are we going to survive doing this? Mm-hmm. But then now I'm like, I'm thankful if I'm paying them like $18 or $16, you know. So
you're like, please don't go no further.
So. Yeah,
you have to pay for good talent, and that's going to be something too that you work on your profit to get a price in there. And I think the thing that really helped us understand that about our pricing is that we started raising our prices, and we started to get, I would say, better customers on that part. We don't get a lot of cheap people. We do get some people who are kind of bougie and stuff, but we don't get a lot of cheap people though on that part anymore. And I think that has really helped us kind of separate ourselves from people who care about convenience. Because that's basically what we're offering the most of in our business is from the convenience factor, which allow us to basically, they'd be very hands-off. We do everything for them, all that stuff like that, and they'll pay for that service. But that's been a really big thing. Another thing that I saw that was that you know, we had a really big issue with on top of that is that we weren't price matching on stuff. And I mean by that, I don't mean like price matching customers coming in. I mean more in the lines like doing what the market is doing. And I know Eddie would be like, hey, that's like too low for that. Cause like, that's like $40. I mean, that was like 3 hours worth of work on there.
Yeah.
And you know, you see that we had issues like that. I'm pretty sure you can come up sometimes when like setup and stuff was way too cheap.
Oh yeah, there's times I get to, you know, that's another thing. Like, a lot of these orders that we get are, you know, we don't actually go to the site and look and see what their houses look like, but we just have a general basis of like how much time we're gonna take out of each location. But I'll tell you what, because sometimes, well, not so much now, but before I used to be out there in the field a lot and do a majority of the work. But man, sometimes I get to these locations. I guess that's the thing that's kind of not good when you, you know, you own the company and you're out there working. Because like Xavier says all the time, and even now, like I'll do stuff now, but very rarely. But, you know, he'll tell me, he's like, oh, the only reason why you're saying anything is because you're out there. Every time that you go out there, you know, there's a problem. It's because you get grumpy because you're not used to going out there anymore.
No, because the thing about when you're out there, you have most of the, you have the power to do anything. And that's a good thing and bad thing. Sometimes that leads to you doing more to a customer than you should do, or you just telling the customers, oh, you're going to grab your stuff and you're going to go on because they're acting crazy. And at least that stuff like that, which is good and thing. And that's kind of how we had at the beginning. And the biggest thing we kind of really kind of tell you about, like when you first start out and, you know, we kind of, we understand it completely now, but you need to price in like you hire an employee, even if you're not doing that. Yeah. Because when you do want to scale this out in the future and you don't want to be someone who just by themselves, no one else, and you want to have like a, I would say a real business when it comes to it that you can actually, you know, walk away from it, go take vacations, anything like that, is you're going to need to have it so an employee can get paid to do the work and you still make profit. And if your customers are that price sensitive, well, they won't choose you based off of, you know, having a $30, $40 difference on there, then you probably not customers you should want to get anyway, because they only care about price. You want people who care about the service that you're providing.
And maybe they're searching the wrong market too, because like I think when I originally started off, I used just Facebook. And you're really good at Google AdWords and, you know, Bing and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's...
Fire truck's coming through right now.
Yeah, right, I know. So you hear that, excuse the noise.
Yeah, dog barking. I'm bad, man. Coach, go ahead.
No, you're good. So, yeah, just you know, the, kind of the same thing. Like, it goes hand in hand, like, you know, increase your profitability. But the delivery, I think that was like the moving, you know, the moving to the right direction of the company. Because we had a really low, you know, for quite some time. And we would always like, you know, I would say, hey, we probably need to go up in pricing. And you're like, man, I don't know. Because I know it's like, you know, if something's working, you're like, I don't want to move it. Because then what if it goes the opposite way? And then you can never turn back the hands of time. But, you know, what we found out is, you know, that people will pay more and they're willing to pay more. And especially right now, I would say if anything, it's probably the easiest time right now. Is to go ahead and change your pricing, because it's like a no-brainer with people. Everybody's talking about inflation and whatnot. So everybody understands that, hey, now what I would have paid last year is, you know, going to cost us more because, you know, gas, you know, paying employees. So most of the customers that want to throw a party, they're going to understand that they're going to pay a higher price this year or moving forward. So right now is a great time to just jump on that and raise your prices.
And because in most markets down south, it's the summer right now, which is usually because it's super hot or something like that. So it's more of your second off season, I would call it, or slower season. One thing I did notice when we were doing our businesses and running this is that never change your prices during the middle of busy season. Always change your prices if possible beforehand. Because what happens, you end up selling out a lot of stuff at that lower price tier, especially during busy season when you know, for most people listen to this podcast, to be honest, during a busy season, if you market real well, all your items will probably get sold out during a busy season, whatever your business season is, like by far. I think ours is, what'd you say?
It's like in the fall and then again, like springish.
Yeah. So around like, for us, it's like, we're in Texas, so it depends. So if it snows in February, at the end of February, then we get crushed. But if not, end of February all the way to mid-June is kind of like a good season for us. And then we have the summer, and it's like, what is it? It's like 120 degrees right now. I don't know if that's even, maybe that's the heat index.
Yeah, well, the sun gets you because I'm cookies. So yeah, that's what it feels like right now in Texas.
Yeah, it'll cook you right now in Texas on that part. So that's another thing. We have to build people who are okay with being outside. But we'll talk about a whole nother thing on what people to find later in different podcasts. So for us, during this hot time, we don't really know, our sales go down. When it gets cold, weather and everything like that, weather really dictates, as you see in the apartmental space, how well you do. So like when we go, let me say the fall would be from like mid-September to mid-November.
Yeah.
On that. Well, these our Decembers are pretty good up until the holiday. We just usually don't have anything to sell during that part of December.
Yeah, because generally the people that do this every year, throw parties and stuff, they know. So they are pre-booking like months ahead. But generally the people that do things last minute are the ones that are scrambling at the end, trying to get what's left. But one thing I wanted to ask, you know, what strategy would you tell the listeners should they use? Like, how would they find what price point would work for them, or how would you do it?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, the easiest version, is just to record all your, from the very beginning of when you're doing it, record how much it actually costs you to do it. Mm-hmm. So that comes down to, you know, from if you're on your vehicle, if you have a monthly payment split across all the different orders, if you pay for insurance, anything like that, put all that payments together and split across the orders that you do for that order. Just, you know, just pick a number that you're able to do in a month on there. So like the less orders you do for that per one vehicle, the more it's going to be. And then I would say that I would take like your general average delivery. For us, we have a software that we built, so it tells us those average deliveries. Ours is about 15 miles away from one of our warehouses is the average delivery. So we can find that and then use that to find your, what would that be, your, how much you pay in gas and add that together. So literally how much time is going to take the person to load it up and drive it over to the location, how much gas you're going to spend, how much is your vehicle going to cost. And then that is just your initial cost of it. And then you need to do that by twice because you have to go back and pick it up. I'm there.
Do we throw in like maintenance and stuff in that?
Yeah.
In that, that too?
Yeah. Okay. We'll throw a little maintenance section in there. So literally when you throw in like your cost for your vehicle, you want to average out across that. So literally, so every single order for us will have a specific, like, so if we have a certain amount of maintenance that we're planning for, like mm-hmm. this is planning for it says $4,000 we're planning and stuff a month. We'll have that $4,000 split across all the orders mm-hmm. and we'll have a specific amount of orders that we think is going to get. And then we just split across all of them. Sometimes it'll be, we do a lot more deliveries, sometimes we do a lot less, it usually balance out. From there. Yeah. And then, so like, that's kind of how we kind of do it from that part. You look at how much time the driver's spending, how far it is away, and then the mileage and stuff like that. You can do the mileage over time. To be honest, it really just depends. Mileage would be more for how much gas you're going to get, how much gas you're going to spend. The time it is away is going to be more about how much you're going to spend with the vehicle as well. And so you do that, and then that just gives you your general cost for it. And that's what we call, like, for when it comes to a driver, we call it just our driver efficiency. But we have efficiency score over gas, the vehicle cost, and the driver, which is actually your total cost of how much, your cost of service, as we would call it on there, that you use to actually go through and determine how much you're doing on there. And if you can get that number smaller, as small as possible, that's how you make the most money. And most businesses, as we've seen, like, you would say, like, I don't know, a lot of businesses, especially businesses not charging for us in this range, $80 to $90, don't make any money off of delivery and pickup. They just don't. It's really is not as hard. And you have some people who do delivery at $30, which is fine. That could be your business practice, but I don't see it as a sustainable model to really, you know, build out stuff on that part. Cause you can't really, cause if you're just an owner doing it, then it's fine. Yeah. But if you actually want to build a business where you actually step away from it, mm-hmm. you can't, you know, you can do $30 an hour on there. And I just think it was lower. You could do lower. And I was saying these guys are just charging too much. But once we got into the numbers and we've been tracking a lot this year, I realized that, like, we're pretty much right where we need to be and adjusting it right there. Because, like,
you mean, like, paying the driver and everything? Yeah,
the drivers.
So you're happy with the numbers?
I'm happy with them. Obviously, we would like them to go up more. Yeah. But
you mean like take home the profitability?
Yeah, I want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because our main goal this year was to make sure delivery is profitable.
Yeah.
Not, we don't do it at cost. We do it profitably.
Yeah.
And I think we have led to do that. We've had some issues because, like, you know, we started this year off with four vehicles working fine. And then out of nowhere, we were down to no vehicles.
Yeah. All of them started blowing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was quite an experience, to tell you.
Yeah, like no vehicles. I can't believe that. Like literally we had no vehicles and we had to rent all our vehicles for the whole year. That is expensive. We imagine renting a vehicle for $1,600-$1,700 each vehicle a month. Mm-hmm. And like that takes so much of your profit when you're literally probably spending $300-$400 on maintenance on each vehicle. You know, that's with a tire, maybe going out, and then some oil change and everything. And so that was like that hit us hard on our profit. We still work our business around it to still get us around, you know, 30-35% you know, net profit at the end of everything. Because generally I would say you want your cost of service to be around 30-15%. And the lower you can get that cost of service down to be the full cost of everything, that's the more likely that that you'll be able to get more profit in the future. Because if you say your overhead is 20% of your profit on there, well, your overhead may switch and change and stuff like that, but your cost of service is going to be one thing that stays consistent over and over in there. So I would really work on just improving that and getting it down better. We do this from basically, we track every single thing, track our gas, because we've had issues where it seems like even though we weren't doing more deliveries, but we were paying more. We had employees steal stuff from us and sell gas basically at a gas station so they can get money. Yeah. Stuff like that. It's tons of anything. People will take anything they can from you on there. But literally gas. So for us, it's gas, vehicle expenses, and then the driver's costs. We have a tracker that we use to track the efficiency of the drivers. So how much we pay the drivers versus how much they actually earn in delivery fees. And that's how we check. And most times we try to get that around 40%. And it's kind of in our range. If it's in the 40s, good. If it's under 40, it's really good. If it's over 50, you kind of need to work on that. If you're in the 60s, it's like bad. Because then you don't really have much money for anything else. On there. We are talking about another podcast, you know, I know I keep saying the other podcast, maybe about this new model that we're working on, which will allow you to be able to not own the vehicle, not pay for the gas. You pay a little bit more for the drivers and stuff like that, but you always consider to get a profit and it's only based off of what the driver does. We're going to that in a different thing right there.
Oh, but I want to do it now.
And so like, you know, so like we've been through a lot on this right here. Like, your profit is everything, and if you're not tracking it on a monthly, weekly, sometimes even daily basis, like you're going to have a lot of issues because there's a lot of phantom costs that pop up and leave, and you don't know where the money went.
I think that's just the main thing is you're just tracking all these numbers. Cause like I said before, I used to be more like, I look at the account like, all right, look, got some money in it, so that's good.
We're
doing something right. But just imagine, you know, we're talking like huge, you know, gains if you just change your pricing. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people that, you know, are listening to us, your delivery is probably in like the $20, $40, and $50 range.
Or free. Don't do that.
Just imagine, and I think a week we do, I don't know, maybe 80, 100,
yeah,
something like that, orders.
And it's slower season, yeah.
Imagine if each one of those, you slap on, you know, extra $40. Now, do that in the course of a year. That we're talking about huge money mm-hmm. here. Every cent counts. Like, even, like, you know, I don't know, I see some people not even charging damage waivers and all that stuff. Those are huge money, even though they're $5 each time, or, you know, fee here, fee there. Those things add up over the course of time. And the same thing with delivery fee. I think that was a step towards the right direction, because I instantly felt like relief, because, you know, I mean, that thing being low for free or $40, you know, I know. I think in the beginning we were just scared to move it because we didn't want to lose business. But in reality, we got less work. You know, less business, but every time we went out there, it was a higher dollar amount. And it's, now it's back to where it's normal. You know what I'm saying? So you may get less work, but, you know, every time you go out there, it's going to cost this much extra. And I think that's maybe we just undervalued ourselves in the beginning and left a lot of money on the table. So,
yeah. And I think we would kind of tell ourselves, oh, we'll raise it up a little bit by a little bit. But knowing what we know now, and most customers are new to you, they never seen your prices before, so they don't really care about that. I think just wherever the numbers make sense, we need to put your prices at. And if you can, and you need to work to sell there. And if you can't sell there, then that's something else you got to work on. At the end, to convince people.
Yeah. And then also another thing, you know, a lot of these customers that, you know, we that done business with us and then we did the price change, you know, they went somewhere else. And a lot of them came back crawling back saying, oh, please, I want y'all to do the, you know, I want y'all. Because another thing is just the type of experience that you give the customer. If you're just regular Joe Blow, then, you know, they're probably not going to come back to you. Yeah. But they get accustomed to how things are done. You make things simple for them, they're going to pay a higher dollar amount. The main thing is make it as simple as possible for these customers. And a lot of times, just to build rapport too, you know, they're like, hey, I like this guy, I like doing business with him, I'm going to come back with him, even though he's a couple more bucks higher. So just build value so that when you do make the change, the customer's going to just be glad to pay you extra money. And trust me, a lot of them are glad because a lot of them, you know, they've been with us from the beginning and they just like to see it succeed, which we love those customers. And we show them love when we can, and they do the same to us. So just keep those in your back pocket and keep them coming.
Yeah. And one thing we do want to say, this is, I would say, a disclaimer or something good, is that literally your delivery fee will impact your conversion rates. The higher your delivery fee, the less your conversion rates will be. But one thing we've learned is that we've compounded that with other metrics and stuff to help out. So, like, we have almost 500 five-star reviews that we're working on. It's not something that people might hear that and say, oh, that's a lot, but it's just like every single week getting 5 to 10 every single week. And we just work on that every single week. And we've been doing this for almost three years. So it's just like getting this stuff and building the basis of it and also having something, putting yourself in the niche and selling something, not just the rentals. Like for us, we just sell convenience. People who want convenience want to get their stuff booked online, pay online, sign your contracts online, you don't even want to talk to nobody. We're like perfect for them. So you need to have like your little niche area too. And then you can be more profitable. If you just go straight off of cost, it's never going to end well because it's always a race to the bottom on that side. On there, there's always someone who's willing to take less than you. Like a lot of people are willing to take less than you. Mm-hmm. And there's always someone who's willing to take less and do more. And so like we kind of been moving ourselves away from that pack and being more of a, you know, I would say just of a someone who they can trust and help them as a partner in their event and not so much just someone you come to just to get the stuff done on there. And a lot of things could affect that. But the one thing I'll say, like if you are at $30 right now or $20 delivery or $40 delivery, and you're probably thinking, okay, that's all nice. Like, but how can I move to actually be able to, you know, change my delivery fees up and what steps should I take? I would say the first thing is I would check my competitors. Now, if all your competitors are charging $45 on there and you start charging $100 and you don't have anything like, you know, reviews, better service, better products, not more convenient, all these things right here, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do it. Now, one thing in businesses you might have to think is you just have availability, and availability in the day will end up being, you know, will be just a trait that you can sell on top of that. But I would really recommend, you know, calling your employees, not employees.
Ask them, what should it be, Mr. Employee?
Yeah, I mean, it's call your competitors up.
And let them know that it's you and you're trying to get some intel and just don't tell them.
Yeah. No, but just call them up and just do like a quote or something like that. And you can have someone else do it if you don't feel comfortable with it.
Now, competitors, you're talking about like jumping online, not like Facebook or any of that kind of stuff, right?
If those are competitors, then I mean, it's who you want to line yourself to compete with.
Yeah.
And I mean, be realistic. I don't mean like go out and choose the biggest person in your area and say, oh, I compete with them. We offer the same service. And like, so we can pay $500 for deliveries. Yeah, and just understand that, like, you're not going to compete with them. Like, the more items that person has and the more availability they have more than yours, like, literally just having supply will create the demand only for them. And as we've seen, like, we've had orders where people ask for 7,000 chairs. Mm-hmm. And, like, we know we don't have 7,000 chairs. We know there's a very small amount of businesses out there that have 7,000 chairs that they can actually rent out of the same kind. And so those companies always win those because they aren't a person to have them.
Yeah. Another interesting point about that. So like you said, we don't have 7,000 of one single chair, but we do have the ability to make it happen. And that's what the good thing about me and Xavier's partnership, that we're kind of a can doer and we came up with a game plan how to get them and get them delivered in a timely manner. The only thing is, you know, things didn't go.
I got greedy. That's all. It's all good. I got greedy. I wanted to do a perfect deal where basically they pay for the whole thing and no money out of pocket, when I really should just shut up and just, they accepted it at a certain rate already and just paid the $10,000 to get the rest of the chairs we needed on there. And that would have been way easier to do. Or I should have upgraded someone else that we had on order to more expensive chairs and just took the chairs we already had over there so we didn't have to pay anything. It was, you know, you can't be greedy. We'll talk about those deals and how to make stuff you don't have work out.
Oh, yeah. And basically, like, let people pay for you to grow. Which yeah. Trust me, we use that method a lot on our growth, yeah, our company.
You got to just plan for it and can't get caught. If you get caught, that's how you get.
It's over.
It's over right there. That's how you get over. But yeah, so just think about your profit, and you got to be looking at an audit and tracking it. Track all your expenses, everything that pertains to it. And one thing too, when tracking your profit, don't get confused like we did at the beginning, where you're thinking your revenue is your profit, or it's your revenue that you basically, the money you brought in is your actual earned revenue. Your earned revenue is only what amount, the amount of work you did for that time period that you're trying to do it on. So don't try to take in just sales and then convert it to earned revenue, because it won't match up. You might have, you know, you might sell $100,000 but only do $20,000 worth of work. And then you look back at it like, oh, I only spent $10,000, you know, that's 10% service cost right there. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of service on that, when it's really not, when you really, you know, you only did $20,000 worth of work and you spent 50%. So make sure you get your numbers correct and know the difference between, you know, unearned revenue, earned revenue, all these things, so you can make accurate portrayal of your profit.
Yeah, and if y'all ever have any questions, just feel free to reach out to us. Like, we're pretty down to earth human beings, so we understand sometimes, you know, it gets confusing or you don't want to make the wrong mistakes. So you just, you know, shoot us a hello or anything. We'll be glad to set you down the right path.
Yep, the right path.
At least all we know is right.
But I want to say thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check out the next podcast we're going to come out next week. We're going to talk about next week.
I don't know. It depends on what we feel like.
Who knows? It'll be one of these topics, but maybe we'll touch more into you know, how to get more employees during this time or something like that. Yeah. Or, you know,
maybe management, like, yeah, hiring managers. Like,
managing stuff and then getting to the next level. But you got to reach out and let us know. But we'll be seeing when he's touching. We'll talk to you next Monday.
See ya.
See ya. But guys, I want to say thank you guys for listening to us. Wherever you're listening to us at, make sure you subscribe to us, follow us, do whatever you got to do, wherever you're at, and we're going to come up more content. Well, guys, we'll see you next week. This is Xavier Kelly.
This is Eduardo Salceda.
And this is the Rental Boys Podcast.